All right. Well, yeah. Since it started raining on the peninsula as well, there's been a definite uptick in the salmon runs over there, particularly on the hump tulips. And our man with the plan, the finger on the pulse, none other than JP, Joe Prinsen, joining us this morning. What's up, Joe?
Morning, guys. I'm finally out of the waders.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
So is it raining out there right now, Joe?
No, it hasn't rained for about a day or two, but it did get about just under half an inch day before yesterday. And boy, every time we get some rain, those fish really boogie. They are.
Boy, no kid. Has it brought the river up at all? I pulled the flows up on the hump a couple days ago, and it was still pretty darn low. Has it bumped up flows at all for you guys out there yet?
Well, the first day it went up to almost 1,000 and dropped back in on September 2nd. The fishing was stellar. Yeah. I mean, everything we had was curling bright, clipped. They were everywhere. Every hole that had some depth to it had kings in it. Then it dropped all the way down, and we're kind of doing the 100-200 cycle right now. So if you get any rain at all, it's only going up 50 CFS, but that's enough to move fish from hole to hole and kind of get them snappy.
So it's been pretty good out there, though. I've been talking to a few of the other guys down there, and even though you're looking at a couple hundred CFS, which is really low, there's enough water in that lower part of the river to pull quite a few of those kings in and make fishing pretty good. Are you seeing pretty good action out there so far?
Yeah, it's been a heck of a hatchery run this year. I mean, we have had a lot of hatchery kings moving the system. I've never seen so many clipped kings this year. The wild are just now starting to show, and some of the bigger fish that usually show in early October are already there right now in September. So the king runs off to a good start. Usually when these runs start good, they end good. And I'm definitely satisfied with what we're seeing. Everybody's happy. Limits are pretty easy to get. There's certain tides, though. Last week got kind of tough. There was a certain couple days where they just didn't push on the tides. And as we start to enter the bigger moon cycles here and the bigger tide cycles, you know, the negative tides, we'll start seeing really big pushes in the next 2 weeks. So I'm expecting the next week and a half to be some of the best fishing of the year for kings.
Is it pretty much a bobber and egg drill down there, Joe?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When it gets really low like this, though, the type of float you're using and the type of weights you're using really kind of help you out with when you're, how your production's going to be. And I switched from the big foam floats that kind of have a big profile on the surface down to the clear floats, small split shots, and not even using any weight down by your eggs, and the production's been twice as good. The water on the lower end of the hump is like a mirror, barely moves at all. Your float maybe is going a quarter of a mile an hour down the hole, so they can see absolutely everything with unlimited visibility right now. So those stealthy approaches are really helping us.
And that's what's crazy about that lower part of the river. It's like a frog pond down there when it gets really low like that. But those fish are stacked all over in there, and it sounds like you're having to be maybe a little more sneaky to get them to bite. Are you running fluorocarbon leaders or anything like that down below there to trick them into biting those eggs?
Yeah, fluorocarbon definitely helps. I mean, you wouldn't think a big old Chinook's pretty finicky, but they can be really finicky fish, even more so than steelhead at times, especially with weather systems coming in and out. And The fluorocarbon definitely makes a difference. I mean, it's a really strong leader. As long as you don't get it too dinged up on the clay ledges or logs, it'll still pull them through. 20-pound minimum, though. Make sure you're bringing 20-pound out to the coast.
There we go. We're talking to Joe Prinsen this morning and JP's guide service. And it was interesting the observation you made with regard to the tides because, you know, you are fishing a fishery that's so dependent on what's going on in the estuary out there, JP. I mean, as those big low tides happen, it forces those migrating Chinook into a decision. They've either got to commit and head up the river or back off down there. And of course, you know, that's an important part of their life history is how they handle that change from saltwater to freshwater. Do you think they can come in all in one tide cycle, or are they going to kind of hang out in the estuary before they come up into the river? And how does that affect when you want to be there, Joe?
Well, you know, it seems like each tide's got its own personality, like a woman sometimes. I mean, each tide seems to bring in, for some reason, a smaller tide will have a bunch of fish, and the next tide's bigger and it won't have as many fish. But typically, the bigger tides have the bigger volumes of fish, and there's those certain spots that they acclimate in, they lay in, and kind of get used to the freshwater feel. Usually, it's where the estuary swamp feeling meets the first part of an actual river type of a run. Like you've got a slot with current coming in and there's a tail out. They'll usually go over the tail out and lay in the backside of that pool and trying to get used to the feeling of a river. And that's usually where the massive carnage happens. So,
but that's interesting because you're finding a place where these fish are going to stop and in stopping, they'll become more territorial, and you double your chances. Or either, you know, you may get a feeding strike at them, you may get some kind of aggressive territorial type strike at them. It's when they stop that they become available to you.
Exactly, exactly. And most of the time, these fresh fish that come in, the really chrome bright fish that are, you can just see yourself in the side of them because they're so bright. Usually those fish are the ones that are really, really hungry and really snappy. It's the ones that are darker that are holding in the hole, making circles that can be there for days that usually don't bite because they have lockjaw. So there's techniques to use between the two different kinds of fish. Sometimes switching jigs will bring fish out of lockjaw. And running bait, of course, is probably the most effective on the whole lower coast. Definitely bringing sand shrimp, though. Those egg shrimp cocktails can make a difference. I've been fishing eggs that are nice and spicy with sulfates in them, and think you're going to get a bite, and it doesn't happen. As soon as you put sand shrimp on, boom, bobber goes down, there's fishing.
Well, speaking of lockjaw, our silvers have been known to get lockjaw once they hit the river, both here in the Puget Sound and out there on the coast. What are you seeing in the way of silvers right now? Haven't heard too many good reports from Grays Harbor. Even out in front of Westport, it's a little scratchy for silvers right now. What are you guys seeing out there on the hunt, man?
Nothing. Not a silver. I haven't caught one all year. I've been trying to, throwing hoochie spinners and twitching in pockets. They're just not there. So I'm a little concerned on the way our silver run's starting. Usually, you know, if a run starts good, it ends good, but it's definitely not starting that good. Heard of a few caught, and of course the Sassup's had a few caught since it's been open, as well as a few kings are moving in there, but it's just not really happening yet for Coho, so hopefully they come on the next rain, and we really need to see them.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you got plenty of kings to work on there. And how long is this king thing going to go, man? Is it going to go through October on the hump tulips there?
Well, traditionally on the hump or Sassup, all these rivers here on the southern coast, you get a king run that goes all the way through the end of October. You know, usually Halloween's kind of the peak date, and that was so for the wild run of kings that used to come in out there. But since then, we've kind of seen a drop in the wild kings, and now we're fishing mostly hatchery fish. And, you know, now the wilds are showing good numbers right now, which is good for this year. But I don't think it's going to be a late October run anymore. I think this week, next week, and the week after, kind of the peak of the run, and we'll start seeing a tail out.
Yeah,
so
completely dependent on how much
for kings through mid-October, and I think that's going to be starting to tail out.
Gotcha. And then, you know, if we do get this big rain that they're talking about coming in, you know, first part of next week, will that accelerate that program a little bit? I mean, would you expect to see a whole pile of fish show up on the heels of that high water?
Yeah, sure. The whole coast will get a big push of fish. I mean, every single system will have fall kings in it. And, yeah, it's definitely for the hump tulips with 12,600 kings coming back. We should see a majority of that in this next rain. It's time, and they're there. They're even pushing through, and I've seen kings, actually I had kings hit the boat yesterday. They were so desperate to move up. They went through an inch of water, big group of 100 fish. And my clients kind of worked through. They're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to get run over. And we kind of almost did. So
that's a tough problem to have. Yeah, you know.
It is. It is definitely. But, yeah, all those coastal systems, even the Sassup's got fish in it right now with no water. So I think it'll be good on this next rain.
Hey, Joe, our text topic on the text toy here this morning is superstitions. You got any superstitions that you do every day when you're fishing or with your customers or whatever on the boat?
Superstitions. Perfume. Don't wear it on the boat. If you bring perfume on a fishing boat, sometimes I think that's too much scent. I do have smelly jelly banana scent. So I don't believe in the banana curse on the boat. Yeah. So we use that sometimes on our eggs and laugh.
So,
no major superstitions. Sometimes I always like to, if I forget the net, usually that's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign. No question about it. He's Joe Prince, and go check out the website, jpsguideservice.com. And don't be a stranger, buddy. Keep in touch, and let's get out and bend a rod this fall, partner.
Definitely, Tom. Sounds good. Just keep in touch, man.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, JP.
You take care, buddy. Good luck to you. Joe Prince, one of the best sticks out there on the peninsula and one of the best locations right now to go get a big king. I mean, you know, if there's one spot you got to go to right now on the peninsula to try to get a big Chinook, Rob Ensley.
You're in, you're out.
The hump tube.
It's
the hump
been
tulips,
good,
man.
You know, this year there's a lot of kings pouring in there. I'm a little worried about the silvers. They're just kind of MIA out there in Grays Harbor right now, so we'll kind of see how that develops. Here, I've talked to Brett Ferris out at Ferris Northwest Guide Service in Westport last night. He's kind of getting a little worried, too. I mean, he's been fishing out of Westport, north and south. hasn't really seen the big wide open kind of stuff that usually goes on out there this time of year. Now, they could be late, too. Everything's been a couple, 2-3 weeks late this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they show up in a couple of weeks. But, gosh, right now, Grace Harbor should have quite a few silvers in it, and they're just not seeing a whole lot in the way of silvers out there.
That's weird because, I mean, you know, last month, you know, exactly a month ago, I mean, we were seeing good numbers of coho already in the Columbia River mouth down there. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, definitely.